We're here primarily to worship him and to give him the honour and the glory that's due his name. And as we come to worship the Lord, we're going to sing together 734. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eves, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We've got the new projector. Things should be clear behind me. And that means you can sing really well today. You'll not miss any of the words. Let's worship God in the singing of this hymn. Sabbath is number 35, the Psalm 35. Verse 1. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause they have hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. We'll end the reading at the ninth verse. Let's bow together in prayer. We've come to God's house. We're here to to honour the Lord in all things. We need his help and his presence. And we seek that earnestly now as we come in prayer collectively. Our gracious God, we seek to bring ourselves before thy holy presence now, coming near to God in the attitude of prayer, drawing near through the mediator, the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Pleading the merit of his blood, we have no other standing, we have no other plea, nothing else to present to the Lord but Jesus, thy blood and righteousness. We thank thee for the Lord's people who have come to this house today to worship. We come to give God the honour that's due his name, to lift the Saviour high in all that we seek to do, to make much of our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come in thanksgiving and praise for all that the Lord is, all that he means to us as a people. We come to rejoice in his goodness, even in the physical and temporal blessings that he has bestowed upon us. And at this harvest time, we want to acknowledge the goodness of God. We realize that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We look around the church building today and we see some of the tokens of God's goodness in the harvest time. We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. And Lord, the harvest is that which thou hast given. We acknowledge God in these things. We praise him for his provision in this physical sense. We thank thee for his unfailing mercy towards us in this part of the world. And Lord, we thank thee for the spiritual harvest too, because we can look back over 12 months since the last time we met like this, and we rejoice at every soul converted to Christ. We thank thee that children have been saved and adults have been saved. There have been remarkable conversions. There have been great answers to prayer. And for this harvest, we bless the Lord for today. How faithful God has been in the blessing that he has sent upon the preaching of the word. As a congregation, we have gone forth with the precious seed of the gospel. That seed has been sown into the hearts of men and women and young people, and that seed has brought forth bountifully unto God. It has fallen into the good ground and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30, but the fruit has been there. And Lord, we rejoice today in what God Almighty has been pleased to do among us. We pray that you will bless this congregation as we come to the Lord's house today. We come to listen to your word as well, and later on it'll be opened and preached upon. You've sent a man of God among us to bring the message today. You were with us last night in the word, and we praise thee for that. And Lord, as our brother Douglas comes to open up the word of God and preach the message that the Lord has given to him for this time, we pray that he will know God's anointing, the Spirit of God upon his life and ministry. And Lord, as he preaches to this people, we're poor and we're needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon us. He's thinking upon us now as we gather here. He'll be thinking upon us in the word today. Lord, minister to us. Break the bread of life to us. Let it not be a vain exercise coming to and from the house of God without meeting with the Lord in his word. Lord, make this a day to remember when God comes down, when the bread of life is broken to our souls, when we leave fed and satisfied, knowing that we've met with God. There's a word for us. Maybe it's a word of encouragement and exhortation and edification. Perhaps a word of rebuke. Whatever it is, Lord, we want to hear it. And Lord, may it be applied mightily by the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. We look to him alone as the great teacher And so draw alongside as the blessed Comforter and go with us all through this service today. Thank thee for the work reopening at Emmanuel School today, the church service that was conducted there earlier today. Thank thee for those that gathered, for the ministry of the word, for the good reports that we've heard of the preaching today. We thank thee for the opportunity to speak again in Pakistan this morning to that assembled crowd. And Father, we just pray that all the efforts that are being made, whether it's in Uganda or Pakistan or in Kenya or Liberia, over in Nepal, in India, other parts of the world besides, that God will further his word, that the Lord Jesus Christ will build his church, and that honor and glory will be brought to him who alone is worthy. All these things we pray and we ask in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. Going to sing again. And as we said last night, because it's the harvest time, we're going to sing three hymns at our services. We have no singers to minister in song, but we're glad that we're able to sing three hymns together. 732, "We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand." Welcome to the congregation, to those that are sitting here in the church, those that are in the fellowship area, and those that are listening in on Sermon Audio and Facebook. Welcome in the Saviour's name. Very hard to get used to you sitting in different places on the Sundays. Great to have my family right beneath my eye. Keep my eye on the boys, you see, that my children behave themselves. Oh, they're a wee bit bigger now, and they can do that all by themselves. Good to see you. Want to thank Diane and the team for coming in and decorating the church. A little bit scaled down from previous years, but the church is looking beautiful. As you came in, you saw there in the porch of the church in the foyer, and here at the front and other places. And we do acknowledge the time and effort that was made, and those who provided the flowers, the fruit, and the vegetables. Now, we welcome also our guest preacher today, Dr. John Douglas, socially distanced up there in the pulpit. He asked me before the service, he says, "What hymns are you singing today?" And I says, "Just to be sure, I'll look it up." And I looked it up, brother, and I give you the hymns from last night. So I was just noticing that. I should have noticed it at the time, but there you go. I said they're all harvest hymns, and so they've been. Good to have you. Well, say something before you get up to preach a little bit later. Tonight, the Harvest Thanksgiving Gospel Service is at 7, and I hope to be here to preach the Word. Tomorrow night is the monthly Sunday School Teachers Prayer Meeting at 8 o'clock. Thursday night is the midweek at 8 p.m., and we continue with our study, Hindrances to Prayer. Youth Fellowship, Friday night, 8 o'clock. And young people, you are to study Genesis 7 through to 9 for the quiz. And Greg Gibson, first-year student at the Whitfield College, will be the speaker. The overall theme these Friday nights is, Who is Jesus? And Greg has been given the task of speaking on some of the names of Christ. Now, Friday night is also the Missionary Council, and the Missionary Council will be taking place here. It's suited the council to come to Hebron, and we thank our committee for the provision that we have. Do remember the prayer meeting on the Lord's Day next at 8 o'clock, Sunday school at 11:15. We were very encouraged to see new children at the Sunday school this morning, and we were up from 85, was it last Lord's Day, to 93 this morning, and new children that were there. The Lord has been so gracious to the start back of our Sunday school after lockdown. Bible class continues 10:45, the subject Just Like You, and Mervyn is dealing with this, a study on the disciples of Christ. Now, the annual Bible conference that we were to have earlier in the year but couldn't because of COVID-19 will be starting next Lord's Day, 12 noon and 7 p.m. And the man that has been asked to come and speak at the conference this year is Pastor Dennis Lyle. I will be elsewhere next Lord's Day in Annalong in the morning, God willing, and then over to Tandragee at night. But he will be speaking on problems on the pathway of life. I'm not going to take time to go through each subject that he will deal with. I can mention more, or this can be mentioned more on Thursday night. But these are the subjects that he's going to deal with. Just to mention next Lord's Day, the God over all our problems. And that's a very encouraging message to start off with at our noon service. And then he's going to deal with his own problem, the problem of sin in his own life. And that will be a personal word of testimony. Can we thank you for your tithes and offerings and the money that you bring in to support the work of God and the missionary work of our denomination. We don't lift a public offering, but there are baskets at the door as you leave. Can we also acknowledge a missionary gift that we received for children's ministry, and that's various aspects of the work of God abroad, of £1,000. A lady called yesterday and passed that on. Just want to acknowledge that. Can I also announce that the Let the Bible Speak calendars for 2021 are now available, and they are £3.50 each. Beautiful pictures of Northern Ireland, and we have the supply is out here. So if you want those, please let us know. Now, one of our committee members is going to have a very significant birthday on Friday. His name is Sean McCauley, and he's going to reach the big 60. So, you know, the family that love him so well wanted to make sure that that was well announced today, and I'm doing my part. And then there's another lady. I don't want to leave our sister Ines out, but Ines had a significant birthday last Monday. I only found out about it there a couple of days ago. So, Ines, we congratulate you belatedly. I'm not going to mention how old she is. She's not 60, but it is significant. And I did tell her she can identify now with Moses' Psalm, the Psalm 90. So if you know that Psalm, you'll have an idea of where she's at today. Now, Sunday school, as we said, on Thursday night is up and running. We thank our superintendent and our teachers for all the work that they put in to bring this together. Three areas of the church building being used for this. Youth fellowship is back again, and again to Samuel and to those who assist him, we do appreciate all that you're doing with our youth. And they've had two very good meetings, and I've seen an increase in attendance too. Then Alejandro Bernabeu, he has returned safely from the land of Spain. He brought out his belongings and brought Lyle's home, and he arrived back yesterday evening. He can't be with us today, very, very sadly. He would love to be here, and of course this is the last Lord's Day that they're going to be in Northern Ireland, because tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock he heads off to the land of Spain to take up the work in the pastorate there in Cortegas Nuevas. So we want to thank God for safe journeys given to him, bringing him back to Northern Ireland. Want to thank the Lord too for their latest edition's passport coming through. Little Ezekiel got that. Couldn't have travelled tomorrow unless it came through, and it came through this week. And we think of them as they travel to the land of Spain tomorrow. And on the last day of this month, the 31st of October, it's a Saturday, it is Reformation Day, he will be welcomed by the church in Cortegas. And Lyle, just before that, will have a farewell service. I said last night, it is hoped that I'll be there. We booked our flights, and we did that on Friday morning, with the great company known as Ryanair. You know, there was a time I said I would never fly with Ryanair again, and there's a number of reasons why, but it was the only air company that was getting me to Alicante rather than Madrid, because Madrid is filled with, they're locked down, filled with the virus. So we got a kind offer to go to Jose and Joy and spend the night on Friday night with them, travel up to Cortegas Nuevas on the Saturday, back again on the Sunday evening, and fly home on Monday. At least that was the plan. So I booked it on Friday morning, and by Friday evening, Ryanair had already cancelled the first flight. So we're going to get back to the drawing board this week to see what we can do. Now, Alejandro sends this little note to the Minister, Session, Committee and Congregation of Hebron, our church. As a family, we wanted to give you thanks for the love and generosity you have shown towards us, especially in the farewell service you had for us. We have been overwhelmed by the many gifts and tokens of your care that we have received. Thank you also for your faithful prayers for Alex's travels to Spain. We will miss you all very much. May God continue to bless you richly. In Psalm 111, verse 2, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Grace and peace from the Bernabeu family. I want to say that Uganda had their very first meeting back this morning after lockdown. I was able to get these pictures from our sister Noreen. They had a new family, a mother and three children, and some other visitors that were in today, I think 53 all together, again spaced out in the church building there, and that was this morning in Uganda. Do remember them as they get ready for a partial opening of the school in the incoming week, and they have the new office facilities in the container that has been provided, and just a recent development next door, the land that we have the kabanja on, we were able to grow crops there, and this was the the harvesting of the maize. Kenya had their first Sunday school in Kakamega, the very first one last Lord's Day, and there were about 30 children present, and we're very thankful to see this work up and running and the children there doing so well. Pakistan, you've been taking a great interest in the school project. That has been a real blessing to these children that you're now seeing on the slides. And they're doing their maths, they're doing their English, they're doing Urdu, they're doing Bible subjects and drawing. I think that's art. These five subjects are being taught Monday to Friday to these kids. The opportunity to preach this morning to a tribal people, many of them profess to know Christ as Savior. And this was just this morning. And there was a food distribution. The left-hand picture there shows these little bags of food being given out to the poor and needy. And the middle slide, you may have remembered a few weeks ago, we showed you this little boy in the blue. He has severe physical disability. He is not able to do very much for himself. But, you know, he did, and the family did request, if it was possible, to get a sewing machine. This is something that he could do. And this funds were provided, and this sewing machine was provided and handed over to this wee boy today. And then the right-hand slide, some of the food that was given out. They always like to provide a meal. I mentioned on Thursday night, Freya's Ladies Fellowship, the Tara Tara Sewing Centre, with the opportunity to speak there on Thursday past to a group of ladies who come in for instruction. The orphan project in India is going well. And again, just to share, now that we have the opportunity with a good projector, these slides and some of the children that you haven't seen before, and the medical assistance that is being given to families in India. Just to mention one more time that the container project will hopefully be seen through in the next couple of weeks. This container will be sent out to Romania with all the things that are inside to help them. The baby clothes for Joanna's baby, they have come through, and this young lady has received them. This is a former Deborah House girl, and she's married with this little boy, and she was delighted just to receive these things. On Thursday night, I made an appeal for an outreach board. This is a picture of the kind of thing that is being sought after by our brother Philip Knowles. He is the pastor in Lewis, and he wants to go out into the open air and be able to carry this board, open it out. The Word of God is displayed. There are tracts for distribution. And if we can have somebody who is a handyman or a joiner to do this for us, we would really appreciate that. These are the prayer requests that we set before you every week. You're familiar with them by now as you pray for the work of God here and for the sick and the needy of the congregation. So we just leave that matter with you. You'll see at the bottom, as we mentioned on Thursday night, Desi Moore has been added to the list. He's going through major surgery on the 27th of October, and he and his family would appreciate you remembering him. That's everything that I have to say. We're going to sing before our brother comes to preach. 676, far and near the fields are teeming with the waves of ripened grain. Far and near their gold is gleaming o'er the sunny slope and plain. Lord of harvest, send forth reapers. Hear us, Lord, to thee we cry. We'll keep our seats again as we sing. have a few visitors with us, and it's always good to see Yul and Arlene when they come over, spending the weekend of the harvest with us this time. We trust that visitors will feel very much welcome. We can't shake your hand or anything like that, but we do give you a very warm word of welcome. Our guest preacher today is Dr. John Douglas. We are indebted to him for all that he means to the Free Church. Students today don't have the privilege of sitting beneath his ministry in class, but when I went to the Whitfield College of the Bible in 1981, it's an awful long time ago, I'm glad I'm able to say I went as a teenager. In 1981, we had the privilege of having him as the principal of the college, and we learned so much under his ministry there, and we're thankful to him. And we trust as he comes to bring the word of God this day. We've had him for many years in Ballymoney at the harvest, but we trust that God will anoint him and fill him and speak through him to all of our hearts. And even now, let's just in our hearts cry to God, Lord, speak to me in a very personal way before I leave God's house. Mr. Douglas, welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus to Hebron. May the Lord bless you as you come to preach.
Let us all turn together to the Word of God. We're going to look just now at Galatians chapter 6. It's lovely to be here and meet with our friends in the congregation here in Ballymoney. It's quite true that I did ask Mr. Park when we began to speak, what are the hymns today? Just as a matter of interest, what are the hymns today? So he thought for a moment and gave me the number, the first one, and some words that are drawn from the hymn, and then the second one and the third one. All very well and good. I'm sitting back here, the service starts, and I think, that wasn't the hymn that he gave me. One of us is slipping up. I have to take account of my years. Am I the one who's affected? You don't know how much of an encouragement you are to me. And the second hymn, the same, no, that wasn't the hymn. And the third hymn, well, by that time, I had more or less accepted it. And now we have had these hymns, and I have enjoyed them too. It's nice to be here, see the friends in this congregation, and to share the Word of God with you. And I'm thankful for Mr. Park and for his kind words of introduction as well. We have so much to think about, and we have so much to thank the Lord for. The harvest meetings are just an occasion arranged with that in mind. We often say these are the harvest thanksgiving services. And that word, thanksgiving, must be preeminently in our thoughts. We want to thank the Lord all the time. But then it's appropriate for the congregation at a given time in the year to gather around God's word and to say, thank you, Lord, for all the blessings. All the blessings you have bestowed on me. We're thankful for what we've known of the blessing of God in this wee country, in our congregations, in this congregation, and then in our homes, in our own lives. We need the Lord all the time. We're going to look at verses from this chapter, Galatians 6, verse 1. Maybe you'd like to put a marker in the place for easy reference. Galatians chapter 6. Anyway, somebody may be asking you after this service, well, sometime in the afternoon, and what did the minister preach on at the first service today, at the noon service? And you may say, well, I think my mind is slipping up a little bit. And it always helps when you've put a marker in, and then at least you've got the chapter if you don't have anything else of the service. But here it is, Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own works, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature, a new creation. And that's what God does for the sinner when he saves him. He makes him a new creature. Verse 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let us all stand for prayer. Because as we've come to the house of God, we need a word from the Lord. The preacher can endeavor to minister, but it's God who does the work. I can only attempt to reach the external organs of hearing, where the Holy Spirit can reach the heart. We would want the Lord to come by today to minister to us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day, for the privilege of being here in the house of God, the privilege of holding Thy precious Word in our hands, of reading that Word, aye, reading it again, after countless other times, when our eyes have scanned these very verses. Oh God, our prayer is today, grant the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Grant that today, as we gather at Thy feet, the Word of God may come home to our hearts with great power and conviction. We pray for a word in season. We pray that men and women here, especially those who are of the household of faith, that they may be helped, helped greatly, helped in mind, in spirit, in body, to go on with God in the light of His Word. Oh Lord, send revival. We're living in dark days. We're living in days of testing, and even for many, days of isolation. O Lord, in Thy mercy, come by today, refresh our souls. Remember those who can't be here, some reasonably well, but isolating at home. Lord, minister to them, and we ask for them healing grace. We pray for some particularly who are not at all well. Some may be in hospital. Some we know are in care. Some we know are seriously ill. We pray for them. Thy gracious touch, Lord, if it please Thee, grant the healing touch of the great physician. Minister to us as well. May we have a word from God. Lord, may I have a word in season. May each individual here be able to say the same. Lord, let us go away saying, surely this is a word for my soul. Hear this, our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to draw your attention today to the words of verse 9. You can see them there. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You will see that my text is sitting right there in a well-known passage of Scripture. My text is in a collection of verses which you will recognize immediately, because these words have been read over on numerous occasions. You've been present in the service, and probably from one of the verses in this passage of Scripture that we're looking at now, God's servant has brought a faithful word. Sometimes the Lord would have us seek out the old paths, and we come to a text today with which we're exceedingly familiar. And that's no reason why we should avoid a passage like this. It's probably a difficult thing for a preacher to take a very, very well-known text and start to minister on that, because everyone in the congregation is saying, well, I know that word. Some of you know it so well, you could not only repeat verse 9 off by heart, but the whole passage there. But nevertheless, we're not daunted by that. God's word is forever relevant. The Lord's always speaking to us, even in those passages that we have read over hundreds of times. There's still a word from God there. There's something new about the Bible. No matter how you approach a given chapter, and you may say, oh, I know this chapter well, yet we should take a word of caution on that and not take too much for granted. We should not just conclude to ourselves, oh, I know that. Well, you do to a certain extent. But there's a great ocean here in the Scriptures. There's something away beyond us in respect to our present experience. There's a word here. I'm assured of this. There's a word from God. You can say a word for my soul. The Lord has a purpose in bringing this verse to my attention. I'll say frankly, it wasn't in my mind some days ago to read and preach from Galatians 6. But I feel the Lord has brought me to this passage and to this verse. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There is a word from God in this passage for your soul. Now, the whole portion goes together. We're aware of that. Nobody should overlook verse 7, where you have the statement of the law of the harvest. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now the Christian will keep those words in mind because he has a glorious prospect ahead of him. He will reap a bountiful harvest. And the greater part of that harvest surely is ahead of him, in that he has the day when he's going to meet the Savior. And what a joyous harvest. Surely in the words we were singing there, we have been reminded of the forthcoming day. A joyous harvest, a bountiful harvest, a glorious harvest. Harvest in the palace of the King. And the ungodly man must pay heed to that. He may say, oh, I don't believe in that stuff. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the Bible. I have no time for that kind of thing. But no matter what he says, every man will reap what he sows. The day of accounting rolls on apace. And the ungodly man out there walking down the street will have to face God in the judgment. In that day when the books are opened and God will judge the secrets of men according to this gospel. And the Christian must give heed to that as well, because verse 8 brings us to, think about the procedure with the individual. Well, there are two companies, two classes of men in verse 8. He that soweth to the flesh. Preeminently there we have the ungodly man in mind. He's sowing to the flesh and he's going to reap accordingly. He will reap corruption. And then for the believer, he that soweth to the Spirit. Well, of the Spirit reap life, life everlasting. We know so much about these words, and yet as I've endeavored to say, there's a great ocean here. There's so much away beyond us, even with regard to our present style of thinking. I come to verse 9. This is the verse I really want you to think about. And let us not be weary. Of course, we know the words. Nearly everybody in the congregation, nearly everybody can repeat them off by heart. Well, it's one thing to repeat the verse and say, I know all that the verse is saying. It's quite another thing to grasp all that God has for us here. To me, the verse begins with a gentle reproof. There's nothing severe in the language of verse 9.
But the Lord is saying, let us not be weary in well-doing. Weariness can affect the Christian. You know more about it as you get older. When you're young, I suppose it's right to say you know nothing about this. A young man can just apparently go on from day to day, no matter what activity he's engaged in. He doesn't really feel weariness in the way that somebody much older will feel it. You know nothing about it until you get to those advanced years. But weariness sets in. But weariness can affect the child of God in the work. And I bring this to your attention today because some of us, in a natural way, can be tired. We can be weary. Weary in the work, but not off it. And the Lord surely gives counsel to the believer here, lest he should be overwhelmed with that sense of weariness and even overcome by it to the extent that he's not fully occupied in the work. That's what the verse is all about. The time has not come for you to lay down the tools and quit the job. The Lord would have us take heart here and respond to this word. And I say this, let us not be weary. Notice the negatives that are there. There are two of them in the verse. We're not to be weary in well-doing. And if weariness sets in, well, we must turn again to the Lord. We're going to look into that in a moment. And the second negative, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Not to be weary, and we're not to faint. What's the remedy that the Lord is giving to us in verse 9 in view of this? The tendency to grow weary, the tendency to faint. By the way, well, there's a marvelous promise in verse 9. The greatest encouragement is given to the believer. He must lay hold on this and not let go of it. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. The due season is God's own good time. There's a guarantee pledged here to the Christian by the Lord that he will assuredly reap. Let us then throw ourselves into the work of God and labor for him with all our hearts, with this knowledge firmly imprinted in our hearts, aye, in our thinking, that in due season we shall reap, no matter what present circumstances are like, no matter how our feelings go. We're often ruled by our feelings. And no matter how our feelings go, the word of God and the law of the harvest is bound into this. In due season, we shall reap. Of that you may be certain. We shall reap. It doesn't say here, maybe. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, maybe we shall reap. The believer often works with a maybe, even in respect to the kind of thing that's in view here. Oh, let's do this. It's the open air. It's the Sunday school. It's the children's work, the young people's work. It's the missionary endeavor. All sorts of things come before us. And we're saying, maybe we shall reap. But God has no time for a maybe in the verse. I want you to see that. We shall reap. There's a solid guarantee given. I want you with new heart to set about this autumn's endeavors with a new spirit, a new heart, a new zeal, knowing the certainty of this. We shall reap, God says. And I like the pronoun there. It's in the plural, we. The verse might well have said, Let us not be weary in well-doing. Keep on praying, brethren and sisters. And in due season, Paul could be writing. Paul could be saying, I and my fellow laborers, we're going to look for an abundant harvest as you hold the ropes in prayer. We could work with that. We could go along with that. But again, that's not what the verse says. Verse 9 makes room for you. Makes room for me. We. I like that. We shall reap. Let this truth come with newness, with freshness to your soul. Let us take verse 9 to heart. Let us take verse 9 in prayer to the Lord. Lord, let me not be weary. Let there be no slacking off on my part. And I think this is an appropriate word, even given the COVID restrictions we're trying to labor under. It can affect our zeal. Even the spirit of isolation, and I'm going to make more reference to this in a moment. A child of God sitting at home today, hearing the word, yes, and best he can, participating in the service as well. But we may not be as fully involved as we should be. And it's not God's mind, no matter what the circumstances are, for the Christian to opt out of the work. Let us not be weary in well-doing. That's one aspect. Our natural strength fails us. And then comes the fainting. The word, if I paraphrase it, might mean just feel I'm going to bits. In a state of collapse, I'm going to pieces. I'm losing control. Losing my peace of mind. Losing my zeal. I'm losing out. We can't lose out with COVID. To the extent that we need a challenge again. We need to see the Lord in our circumstances. In due season, that's God's good time. But that means we have to wait for it. Well, the hymn that you sang today to open with, again, like the verse I have for a text, is very well known. Lovely hymn. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and in the dewy eaves. But then comes that line, you know it so well, don't you? Unless suddenly when you're asked, there's a mental blip and that line doesn't come. Well, this is what it is. Waiting for the harvest. And I have thought to myself, well, every child of God knows that. You've sung the verse often enough. Waiting for the harvest. But we're not good at waiting. And oftentimes with waiting, there's a loss of enthusiasm, a loss of zeal, a loss of expectation. Surely that is bound up in the word. Every time you have this hymn, every time you sing this verse, you've got to give more attention to that word waiting, because we don't excel at waiting. And we give up hope and we start using the maybe again instead of getting to the certainty. Now, I have no doubt but that God means what he says, and he says what he means. If the Lord is saying now, he shall reap. If he faints not, then we can say for a fact, God's word is right and our fears are wrong. We can't go by circumstances. We can't allow COVID and all the restrictions accordingly to hold us back from following the Lord fully. You see, the Lord doesn't want us to fall into a fainting fit. We have it in the prophets as well as in the epistles. We're here in the epistles. Take Isaiah. He giveth power to the faint, To them that have no might, he increases strength. In verse 31 of that chapter, they that wait, back to that word again, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We're interested in renewing our strength. A time of renewal. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. I have thought, well, some of the miracles of Christ show us that it's not the Lord's will for us to fall down in a fainting fit. Remember Bunyan's Pilgrim fell into the slough of despond. And you and I can very easily do the same. And you can hit on a bad time of discouragement, time when you're feeling low. Somehow, you may not be able to account for it, but you just feel off in terms of emotion and desires for the Lord. You may lose out. Well, that is a fainting fit. The child of God is passing through a time of despondency. After all, the psalmist said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" If the psalmist, who knew and loved the Lord so much, entered into such an experience, don't you think there may come a time when you don't feel that you're 100%? You don't feel you're 100% for the Lord. And COVID, like some sort of subtle influence, has maybe put the brakes on, and you're not what you used to be. You're not what you should be. And God has sent this preacher today to give you this text. Let us not give in. Let's not opt out of the work. And we're not to opt out because of COVID either. Could we look at some of the miracles? Well, just a couple of Matthew 9. You don't have to turn it up. I'll read it if you like, but it's Matthew 9 and verse 36. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. I've got to say this. Sometimes the believer needs to be aware that he may not have the right view of Christ. He has an impression in his mind about the Savior he loves and the Savior he serves. But we don't always have the right view of Christ. What kind of a Savior do you have? Given that you may have been coming through a very tough time yourself, and you haven't been feeling good, and you haven't had the same heart and spirit for the work. Well, if that's the case, what kind of Savior do you have? Matthew 9, 36. We're talking here about the Lord's wonderful provision, his wonderful grace. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Now, why do you think that was? He was moved with compassion because they fainted. You might have thought, if the Lord sees that I'm not the person I was, and I've come into a time of grief and despondency and even despair, that the Lord will give up on me. The Lord may be angry with me. He may be displeased. He may be frustrated with me. But the opposite is true. The opposite is true. These people fainted. And the Lord is going to talk about the harvest being plenteous and the laborers being few. And surely he would have said, we can't afford to have people fainting at such a time. But just the same, our Savior is moved with compassion. And the word because, it needs to be colored in your text. It needs to be colored in your verse, because they fainted. The Lord hasn't given up on you because of That coldness that you think is there, that lack of industry and that lack of zeal. He was moved with compassion because they fainted. The Lord doesn't want you to lie down under a cloud of despondency. Because they fainted, he was moved with compassion. Not with anger, not with displeasure, but with compassion. The Lord doesn't want you to be subject to those dark moods that you may have experienced. He saw them here scattered, sheep having no shepherd. It's important to have leadership in the country. It's important to have leadership in the denomination. It's important to have leadership in the congregation. And I'm thankful for the Lord's servant here, how busy he is in the work. And he's providing that leadership. But across the whole country, there may be, and it may be right to say for the whole country, there's a lack of leadership. They were sheep as those who had no shepherd. Putting it simply, people out of fellowship with Christ. You could be at home, and don't get me wrong on this, you have reasons to be at home. You may be particularly vulnerable in regard to possible infection. You have a reason to be at home. But equally, it's possible, too, that somebody sitting at home today who could well be here, they're not all in the same category. Somebody could be sitting at home just now saying, I'm in my comfortable and favorite armchair. I'm hearing the word, brother. I'm listening. I'm tuning in. I never miss a service. But you're scattered. You're not in the fellowship. And the time has come, surely, for you to sit up and hear this word. Because you very much like the man who's described in verse 9 of our text. Overcome with weariness. You're sitting back in your home. You're not in the work. You're missing out on the fellowship. You remember that verse in Acts of the Apostles? Of the young converts. What it said of them. They that gladly received his word were baptized. So far, so good. Then we come to the words, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and breaking of bread and prayers. They continued steadfastly. Oh, I've left something out. I left a word out. Would you like to hear again what is said there? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and breaking bread and prayers. I left something out. And I draw your attention to it because I think you may be leaving it out as well. Now the whole verse is, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And fellowship. And that's what we're about. You see, we could all sit at home in a comfy armchair and get the coffee and the biscuit as well. And that's lovely to have. And let Mr. Park come here and preach to himself. And of course, in doing so, in the broadcast he's getting to every home, we could let him come here every Sunday. You see, God is saying it's not just hearing the word. And that's all important that you hear the word. I'm not minimizing it. But I'm saying this, there's more to it. And God has this purpose of gathering his people, not having them scattered abroad, but gathering them around his feet. It's the fellowship. That man on the street we talked about, if everybody stayed at home, walking past the church here, we'd see the gates locked. Not a soul in the car park. Therefore, not a car either. The door's locked up. And he would say, nobody there at that church. That's no testimony.
If we have to do that under COVID, I know we did so for a time. We can appreciate that. But listen, the main thing is here, the world, Ballymoney needs to know there's a church here. Ballymoney needs to know there's a congregation here. It's functioning. The gates are opened. There are cars in the car park. The doors are opened. The people of God are here. Even if that man doesn't come in, he knows. He knows why we're here. We believe in God. We believe in the book. We believe in the Lord. And now it's 100% the Lord requires. Matthew 15. I know that we have a great picture of the Lord here. Matthew 15. And this is the time when the Lord will feed that great multitude of people. Matthew 15. And he's saying here to us through his word, multitudes are assembling. Verse 31, Jesus called his disciples. This is what he said. I have compassion on the multitude. Once again, compassion. Once again, compassion. It's important to have a better view of Christ. And the word because comes in once more. Because! That word is so important. Maybe you overlooked it before. I have compassion because these people are 100%. No, it doesn't say that. I have compassion because these people are together, they're just a hive of industry. No, it doesn't say that. He says here in verse 32, I have compassion because they continue with me now 3 days. He took account of the time they had given to his word. He took account of the journey that they made, and many of them had come from far away. It's Mark that tells us that, Mark 8:3. Many of these people had come, ever so far to get there for these 3 days, and the Lord is saying that nothing to eat. Now that's going to lead to fainting and collapse. But this is what I want to say. The Lord is saying here, I will not send them away the way they are. I'm not going to send them away empty. It's so necessary to have the right view of Christ, the kind of Savior you have. Even when you pass through that time of weakness and despondency, and you feel low, and I just say, I'm a low ebb. Well, the Lord will not give up on you. And the scripture says, let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap. And the Lord took account of the fact that they had gone on without food. They had stayed with him 3 days. They had come so far to hear his word. And now they would have to make the same wearisome journey away back home again. And the Lord is saying, before you go, I'm not going to send you away without a portion. That's the kind of Savior I have. And when he says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. He says, if I send them away fainting, they will collapse. They'll faint by the wayside. And the Lord doesn't want us to faint with discouragement or weariness or a loss of heart. He wants rather to have us come back into the place of fellowship. There's ever so much here that I'm just on the fringe of things. But time is a hard master. I've got to say this. It's in the miracles. And there we have the Lord pictured in the miracles with compassion, even when they were in a spirit of weariness and when their strength had gone, they were ready to collapse in a heap in the ground, yet the Lord is moved by compassion because they're passing through that time of difficulty. And he takes measures to see to it that they will have something of substance before they go. He'll not send them away. I say, men and women, we need to take this out of its chapter and say, I will not send them away. Nothing. Every time you pray, every time you get to the prayer meeting, and I hope you haven't been missing at the prayer meeting of late. Every time you get there, you come with that waiting on God, that spirit of expectation. I will not send them away empty. And they will not. May the Lord speak to our hearts today and give us fresh resolve, because he is worthy, isn't he? And you're glad you're saved. He is worthy. The Lord knows very well how, even with all our interest and our desire to please him and follow after him, there comes a time when the energy just isn't there. And we wonder about it and we think maybe the Lord has no time for us because of that. I have picked out that word. Because there's special grace to be given to you. He's not going to send you away empty. The Lord bless his word today. Mr. Park.
Thank you, Dr. Douglas, for bringing the message. I think we'll come immediately to prayer. Father, we thank thee for a word in season. We're speaking to our hearts. We're not going away disappointed in any thought of it, Lord. We have met with God today. You've opened up your word. You've spoken to every heart. You don't send us away empty. We've come to the house of God with expectation, and we're not disappointed. Bless the word to us. Oh, how easy it is to become weary, even to get to that place where we faint. Oh, God, deliver us even in these days of the virus from going down that way, whatever the cause of it, whatever reason why some of the Lord's people might be in such a place today. Come, Lord, and refresh us. Pour out the Holy Spirit and set us on fire again for God, and send us forth, Lord, even into the town in which we live to represent Christ, to preach Christ to a lost and a perishing world. Take up your word today and apply it to every waiting heart. May it do us good, not just now in the service, but through the rest of this day, in the incoming week. May it be a message that we don't forget. May the Lord continue to apply it again and again. Bless your people that have not been able to come to the house of God for whatever reason. We know that some are shielding, keeping safe. Others, Lord, maybe have become weary for whatever reason and have fainted by the way. Lord, if they've had the opportunity of listening in today, revive their soul and send a blessing to them. Part us now in your fear and with your love upon us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You will be told how to leave just to keep everything safe. I understand that our sister Nell Thompson is with us today. She hasn't been here for a long time, and we're delighted that she's made it to the house of God. We will go to the door. We'll just stand at a distance. You can walk past and say hello, shake hands like this, whatever. Okay.